remembers them no more. That's the amazing God we serve. You know, good to see you, Cynthia. Good to see you guys. Good to see everyone. Hope everybody's doing well. Who's excited for the new year besides me? We're excited. You know why? Because we got something to be excited about. We got Jesus. We got hope. Right? There's so many people right now at this season that are not excited. And they're not looking forward to another year. They're not looking forward to the problems and the issues and all that. Us as believers, we can give that all away. It's not my problem. It's your problem, Lord. Whatever you got me going through, I know you're going to fight my battle. And you're going to bring me through it. And this is how we stand. We stand in the truth. And we stand by faith. And so when we're looking at faith today, we've been looking at faith for the past several weeks. As soon as you hit Hebrews 11, most pastors and theologians will call this the Hall of Faith. So if you haven't read Hebrews 11, do yourself a favor and read Hebrews 11 this week. Also, going into the new year, do yourselves a favor. This is what I do. I get a new Bible and I read through it. And when I read through it, I get another new Bible. And I just ordered another one last night. And it's so cool. I've got a Bible. I collect things. I know. I collect coins. I collect guns, motorcycles, whatever. But Bibles are cool. And I've got my great-grandfather's Bible. And my grandfather's and my dad's and my mom's and everybody's. And I just collect them and I love them. But do yourself a favor and get in the Word this year. Because, you know, what's cool about our little church here, our little family here, is we're not many, but boy, do we know the Word. And Bill and I were talking about this last week. I said, Chuck, you got people in here that really know the Word. I said, don't think I don't know that. Because you guys challenge me all the time, and I love it. You know, Lynn will talk to me about something, or Bill, or any of you guys will just hit me up, Joe, and everybody will say, hey, what do you think about this? What do you think about it? And I said, ooh, I hadn't thought about it that way. And it's just, it's really cool to have people here that are strong in the faith and strong in the Word. You know, so we can say we're not many, but we're strong. We're mighty. Mighty in God. Amen. And I love it that we are in the Word. And that's the purpose of the church. If you look at the purpose, what's the purpose of the church? Why do I need to go to church? To equip the saints. Well, you guys are saints. You guys are believers. As a believer, you are a saint. Yeah, and so remember that. You know? And I have so many people, and I love that. I love to trip up the kids down in El Salvador and Guatemala. Every time we go down there, I love to trip them up. Because they're in discipleship program to learn more about the Word. And I love to trip them up and say, are you a sinner or are you a saint? And they sit there and they go, maybe a little of both. And I'm like, you can't be 50-50. You can't be halfway in, halfway. You're either a sinner or you're a saint. You were a sinner before you believed. Now you are a saint. 100% clean by what? The blood of, amen. Amen. So happy that we're strong in that. So remember, we're equipping ourselves. And so many times we leave it up to the pastor to go out and evangelize and stuff. And like, hey, look how many people's in here. You are all lights for Jesus. You're all, I mean, the world should write us a thank you letter, basically, because we're good people, not on our own, but just because that's our heart. Our heart is after Christ. We're going to have good fruits. They're just going to happen. You know, you can't get, like you say, you can't get pears from an apple tree. You know, you can't get bad fruit from a good tree. You're a good tree. You're planted by the waters. So whatever you do will prosper. Remember that going into the new year. Whatever you do will prosper. Joe, you could change careers right now and go, I don't know, sell motorcycles. And you're gonna be a millionaire. You're going to prosper in that. And I'm not preaching, name it, claim it, believe me. Although send $100 and God will bless you and then know. Okay. Let's go to Hebrews 11, and we are in verse 5. We've made it to verse 5. How about that? And what I've been doing, if you hadn't noticed, I've been taking each person and kind of looking at their life and kind of, you know, going over. And so going through Hebrews 11 is going to take us through the whole Bible. We're going to go back to Genesis today because we're going to look at Noah. And last week we looked at Enoch. And if you look at Enoch and you look at Noah and you look at their similarities, what does it say? They both walked with God. To the point Enoch was just taken up. He never experienced death. Wow. I wish I could have that kind of walk, right? You just walk. You imagine you're hand in hand with the Lord, and one day you're just, beam me up, Scotty, I'm out. And we do have that. We do have that relationship that we're walking with God because we have the Holy Spirit. So everywhere we go, guess who goes with us? God's Spirit. God is with us everywhere we go. This is why we will never taste death either. In fact, me and Bill were talking this morning. We're already seated in the heavenly realm with the Father. Spiritually, we're already up there. Now it's just a matter of transformation, just shedding this old stuff, which Paul knows very well because he deals with a lot of sick people. And we're all going to face that. We're all going to die to the glory of God. Amen. Let's move on. So by faith, Noah, after he was warned about what was not yet seen and motivated by godly fear, built an ark to deliver his family. By faith, he condemned the world and became an heir of the righteousness that comes by what? Faith. So by faith. So we see that even in the Old Testament, people have this misconception that, well, how were people saved before the New Testament, before Jesus came? By faith. It's always been by faith. It's never been by works. It's never been by the law. In fact, the law of Moses was a death sentence, wasn't it? The law of Moses was, you can't do it. Here's the Ten Commandments. Take a look at them really hard. And then Jesus comes along and says, let me clarify this to you. You say you're not a murderer? Have you ever hated your brother? Or looked at him with contempt? You're a murderer. You say you're not an adulterer? Have you ever looked at another woman with lust? Yeah, you're an adulterer. And so you could just go down the list and we're indicted. And so the law was given to point us to Jesus. We can't do it, so we have to have a Savior. His name is Christ the Lord. So Noah was warned what was yet seen. He was motivated by godly fear. What motivates you? Now what is, amen. And what is godly fear? It's not looking up to God and saying, oh, God's going to get me. God's going to squash me. God's going to crush me. God's going to, although it pleased the Father to bruise the Son. Think about that for a minute. Don't ever question how much God loves you when he says, it pleased me to crush my own Son, to kill him. Whew. That's how much he loves us. Because he knew that his Son was the only one who could pay the price. Who could pay our debt, our sin debt. And how do we gain that? By believing, by faith. And so many churches have it wrong. We got to work. We got to do good things. We got to change our behavior. Hey, look, your behavior is going to change anyway when you get the Lord. But you don't have to do anything to come to Christ. Just call upon his name. Ask the thief on the cross. He didn't have time to do anything. He didn't have time to come down and say, I'm sorry for all the bad stuff. Let me try to make up for all the bad stuff I've done. I'm going to go around and do good stuff now, and then maybe God will love me. No, Jesus said, today you will be in paradise. And all he said, he didn't confess his sins. He didn't ask for forgiveness. He didn't give a dime to the church. He just said, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. Faith. Amen. So understand this year, what motivates us? Going into this new year, think about what motivates you. Is it the almighty dollar? Is it, although that's nice to have, and God says specifically in the scriptures, enjoy the, there goes their phone again. I'm going to disconnect that thing one day. Enjoy the fruits of your labor. On earth, we have it in this. We have a mindset, and my grandmother and grandfather were kind of guilty of this, and that they had this mindset that they had to be. They couldn't have a lot of money because if they had a lot of money, it would tempt them to be. I said, no. It's the love of money that's the root of all evil. It's not money. It's the love of money that's the root of all evil. If that's your God, like the rich young ruler who came to Christ and said, what must I do to inherit eternal life? Christ told him, he says, I've kept all the commandments. He said, well, that's good. Well, then go sell all you have and give to the poor. And he walked away sad. Why? Because he was filthy rich. So God was basically calling him out and said, no, you don't really love me. You love your money. You love your status. And so we need to think about what motivates us this year. What motivates us in our relationships? What motivates us to go to work in our job? What motivates us to come here to listen to the word and to be equipped? So think about that motivation. What motivates me? Why? There's people that don't even want to get out of bed in the morning. We need to pray for those people. We need to show them the love. Say, look, you know, there's hope. I'll tell you a quick story. We were down in Cartagena 10, 12 years ago. And the pastor that was guiding our little missions group said, we're going to go out on the streets tonight and just pray with people. I said, cool. Sounds like fun. The problem is we were in a red light district. A lot of drugs, a lot of prostitution, stuff going on. And you ever want to see the hand of God or the miracle of God happening? Just go out there and jump into something like this. And so I went out with two ladies. One of them spoke Spanish. The other was a gringo like me who didn't understand much Spanish at all. And we went out on the streets. And the first thing we saw was three prostitutes. And we had Bibles with us too. And I yelled at them from down the street. I said, hey! They turned around and said, come here! And they're in their get up, you know. And they come up and they look and they say, hey, how you guys doing? Do y'all have a Bible? No, we don't have Bibles. I said, would you like a Bible? Yeah. Yeah, nobody's ever given us a Bible. So we gave them a Bible. And he said, how can I pray for you? They're like, you want to pray for us? I said, sure. So we prayed with them. After we were done praying with them, they said, can you pray for our families too? Sure, let's pray for your families. Then after that, they said, can you pray for our kids too? And I'm sitting there thinking about this. I said, y'all have kids? That's how naive I'm in my thinking. You're a prostitute? You have kids? Well, yeah. They're people like you and I. And I'll never forget the vision of us walking away from them and them walking down the street in their get-up holding their Bibles. I'm like, that's so cool. But then God led us to this other lady who was a street vendor. And we started praying with her and she started breaking down crying. I said, what's wrong with her? I couldn't understand. And the lady from Cuba that spoke Spanish said, she has a son that's severely depressed and he won't get out of bed. I said, how old is he? Like 15, 16. She thinks he might be on drugs. He'll sleep all day. He won't get out of bed. Could you come to my house and pray for him? Now, the pastor in charge of the whole mission thing had told us, don't go off the main street and stay within sight of the other groups. Now, me being an ex-DEA agent, I'm not really scared of too much. I said, where's your son live? About 5 blocks over this way. I looked at the ladies and I realized the responsibility I was taking on. And I said, are y'all good with going? They said, we're good if you're good. I said, let's go. So here we go. We're going through the back streets and alleys of Colombia. And the first sign that you're not in a good place is barbed wire everywhere on the ceilings, get bars on the windows, and there's not one person on the street. Might not be the best idea I ever had. But we make it to this little house. Now, remember, we walk into this little apartment, and it had one light bulb. One light bulb. No cover for it, just the light bulb. And you could barely see in there. It was really dim. And no furniture, just maybe some blankets over here, maybe a little stove or something. And then you walked into this other little room and here's this 15, 16-year-old and he sits up on his bed. And I said, you know why we're here today? Now here we are, gringos from Florida. I said, you know why we're here today? He goes, no, I have no idea. I said, because your mom loves you enough to care about you that she wants you to be encouraged. And I said, I'm here to tell you about the hope of Jesus Christ. And I sat there and I read him Psalms 139. I knew you before I formed you in the womb. I know your thoughts before you think them. I know what's on your lips before you speak them. You cannot depart. You, wherever you go, you cannot get away from me. You can go to the highest of the heavens or the pit of hell. There I am with you always. It talks about, go read Psalm 139. So it talks about how intimately God loves you. And God had given me this scripture 2 days before. And I had stuck on it. I was stuck on it. And I read it probably 20 times before I went to bed that night. And the next day, I'm sitting in this little dungy little room with this kid who's severely depressed. And I said, do you want the hope of Christ? Do you believe in Jesus Christ? He says, yes, I do. And I said, let's pray. And when I prayed, that guy, when I walked out of that room, I turned around and looked at him. He was smiling from ear to ear. And I just remember walking out and looking up and tears coming in my eyes saying, thank you, God, for this opportunity to come and speak life, your name, into this kid. And that's just an instance. But we need to go back to what is motivating us. And so it said, Noah built an ark. Whatever motivates you is going to bring you to do something. And this is what James talks about, right? You know, hey, if you got faith, you're going to have works, right? And James talks about this. It's just going to come. It's not you're saved by works. It's just you will have works. In fact, if you want to get really technical about it, Ephesians chapter 1 and 2 talks about the good works that we would do that God has already prepared for us. So it all goes back to him. He's already prepared the good works. We're just walking in them. That moment that I was in Columbia in that dark dungeon of a room was already prepared by God. I was just willing to walk it. And we walked through there and I wasn't worried. I said, you know, Psalm 91, the Lord is with me. If it's your time to go, I firmly believe this. You will go. And if it's not, you won't go. And I wrote a book about it. My adventure on Mount Yona when I was 19 years old. I thought I was going to die. I was a fool. I climbed a 200-foot granite face of a mountain, nothing but tennis shoes and shorts. We were in college. We were stupid. Hey, let's climb up this granite face. I get halfway up and realize I can't get back down. There's nowhere to go but up. And so I keep climbing, and I'm thinking, man, I'm going to die. And I get up to about the 200-foot point, and I say, okay, I'm almost made it. And there's this overhanging ledge. No ropes, no climbing shoes, no training, nothing. Just a crazy 18-year-old kid, freshman in college. So I'm like, I'm strong. I was a strong kid. I could do my pull-ups. I said, I'm going to grab this ledge, and I'm going to swing myself over. And when I went to grab, I realized that if I swing out, I might not be able to get back to the ledge. So I just sat down and prayed. And when I sat down, my perspective changed. And I could see where there was a little tunnel, like a little cave. And I said, well, at least if I'm going to spend the night up here for a rescue, at least I could get under this little cave. And as I walked along this ledge and got under this cave, it was like stair steps to the top. I really thought I had died. I couldn't believe it in my eyes. I couldn't believe, holy cow, there's like literally steps going up. In the stone, not man-made steps, just stone steps. And I made it to the top. I was never so happy in my life. And I look back on that and say, so if God wants you to stick around, you're going to stick around. What do we fear anyway? As believers, nothing. Nothing. We fear nothing but God himself. So he built an ark. He did something. Think about this year. God's motivating you to do something Go do it. You know, and if it's wrong, indifferent, or whatever, it's like me. I would walk in my life, God, you want me to go over here? Up. Nope. Okay, I'll go over here. Up. Nope. Until God gets you on that path, and he puts you in that path, and then it's everything you're doing, God is blessing, and that's like, okay, this is the path. I'm not saying everything will be easy. Some things in my life that I were most blessed from were the most difficult. So God will put, like Job, lost everything. But what did he say? Though he slay me, if he even kills me, I'll still trust him. Unbelievable, right? So motivated to go do something, he built an ark to deliver his family. God sent his son to deliver us. There's a flood coming, guys. There's a flood coming. Jesus came down and said, I'm going to snatch you out of it. He said, the wicked will perish, but not so the righteous. The righteous will live forever. Amen. And he said, by faith he condemned the world and became an heir of the righteousness that comes by faith. Now don't just stop there. Why have faith, Chuck? In what? In your sports team? All my sports teams lost yesterday. Miami. We don't want to talk about BYU, Jennifer. They crushed Colorado. I cried. I knew Jennifer was probably happy. But anyway, heir of righteousness that comes by faith in Jesus Christ. Genesis 6, the Lord said, I will wipe out mankind, whom I created off the face of the earth, together with the animals, creatures that crawl, and the birds of the sky, for I regret that I made them. If you go back to the King James Version, it says God repented. Whoa. Well, what does repent mean? We've talked to this many times. We've preached on this many times. Repent means change your mind. He changed his mind. Maybe this wasn't such a good idea. Because all these people, and when I talk about wicked, we think about pagan ritual. What God was mad at was they were not acknowledging him and worshiping him. They were worshiping their idols and their pagan gods. And even with his chosen people, the nation of Israel, it wasn't that they were going out and drinking and carousing and fighting and doing all the things that maybe the Canaanites did or the pagans did all the time. It was that they were setting up idols and saying, I would rather be my own God and make up my own God than worship you. And it says, Noah, however, found favor with the Lord. Now, if you look and you go back and you look up the word favor in the Hebrew, it can mean the same as grace. So favor and grace are kind of the same word. And it can mean the same thing. Noah found grace with the Lord. And if you look and you study about who Noah was, because it says in the next slide, Genesis 6, it says Noah was a righteous man. Blameless among his contemporaries, Noah walked with God. Where else do we find this in the Bible? With Job. Job was a blameless man. He walked upright, feared God, shunned evil. Well, what does that mean? It doesn't mean he was sinless. There was no man ever walked the earth that was sinless except Jesus Christ. Blameless is more of a description of he's a good guy. You can't really throw anything at him. He's not like trying to undermine people. But that's not why, let's don't get confused. That's not why God saved him. So many commentaries will talk about, well, Noah was the only good one around. That's why God chose him. Nope. Read the genealogy of Jesus. It has a prostitute in there and some murderers. Read about King David's life, adulterer, murderer. Read about Moses' life, murderer. 66 books in this Bible written by murderers, adulterers, thieves, robbers, a couple of physicians maybe. It's all walks of life. It's not works. It's favor. It's grace. So Noah found that. He found grace in the eyes of the Lord. He walked with God. And so you move on here, and I'll show you that Noah wasn't all that. Noah, as a man of the soil, Genesis 9, began by planting a vineyard. He drank some of the wine, became drunk. So wait, one minute you're saying, Chuck, he's a blameless man. Next minute you're saying he's a drunk. I'm saying he's blameless because of his faith. You follow me? Everybody in here that believes in the Lord Jesus Christ of the Bible is blameless. Well, how can you say that, Chuck? Because your sins have been taken away. Remembered no more. Not just covered. Covering was an Old Testament concept. I'm going to cover your sins for a year, but you got to come back next year on the Day of Atonement. We got to sacrifice some more animals, and then you'll be good for another year. You can go out and do what you want. Now it's once and for all, forever, more, past, present, future, done, deal. This is why we're free. This is why we're free. We're not under any bondage, any law, under any pressure to do anything. But we love him and we desire him, and so we walk with him. And so Noah got drunk. Did he lose his salvation? Did God frown upon him? No. He's in heaven today. In fact, I think, I can't remember how old he was, 900 something years old. He lived 350 years after the flood. I know that. So he lived a good long life. And so closing out here, Isaiah actually mentions Noah 700 years before. He said, "For this is like the days of Noah to me." This is the Lord speaking to the nation of Israel. "When I swore that the water of Noah would never flood the earth again, so I have sworn that I will not be angry with you or rebuke you. Though the mountains move and the hills shake, my love will not be removed from you, and my covenant of peace will not be shaken, says your compassionate Lord." Now that's a message for each and every one of us. Found in the Old Testament. This is talking about Jesus. My covenant of peace. Who is our covenant of peace? Jesus. He is our covenant of peace because now we have made peace with God by our faith in him. And we are considered sons and daughters of God. And he says, "The mountains move and the hills shake. My love will not be removed from you. And my covenant of peace will not be shaken, says your compassionate Lord." That's the God we serve. That's the God who saves us. That's the God who loves us unmercifully. And I tell students all the time, God loves you so much he cannot take his eyes off of you. We got to get this old preaching and old way of thinking that God's mad at you and he does this and he turns his back on you. But when you apologize and you say, "Lord, I'm sorry." No, it's not God. His face is always towards you. Always. "I have placed my bow in the clouds, and it will be a sign of the covenant between me and the earth." Seen a rainbow lately? Every time I see one, I'm like, "Lord, you're awesome. You're awesome. He has given us so much." He says he has blessed us with every spiritual blessing. We walk by the Spirit. We walk by faith, not by sight. So no matter what's going on, pass that word. Hey, it might be dark in your life right now. It's not going to always be that way. We have hope when others do not. You are blessed. Everybody in here, you are blessed. You are chosen. You're predestined. You're sealed. You're redeemed. You're loved. And that's the message that we need to be speaking to everybody else. Lord, thank you for bringing this word today and just bringing us together again, Lord, to hear about you and hear about your wonders and your love that will last forever. It is eternal, your desire for us, Lord. We just hold our hands up to you and say, Father, we love you too. And Lord, just be with us as we go, and we know you will, wherever that may be, this coming week, this coming year. Be with us as we grow in knowledge of you. Increase our faith. In Jesus' name, amen.